This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
Sergio Cuadra spent 20 years honing the art and craft of winemaking in Chile before being invited to become winemaker at Fall Creek Vineyards in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a chat with Cuadra as he shares his journey and just how his Chilean winemaking background provided deft insights into crafting award-winning wine from hot climate grapes in the Texas Hill Country.
My name is Sergio Cuadra. I'm a winemaker for Fall Creek Vineyards here in Taos, Texas.
And you're a long way from home, aren't you?
I am. I'm originally from Chile, South America, where I used to make wines for the previous 19 years before coming here in 2013.
So where is the prime growing region?
Chile, like around Santiago, there's the Maipo Valley, which is one of the most famous valleys. Then to the coast of that is the Casablanca and San Antonio valleys, with Lleida being a star there. Going south from Maipo is the Cachapoal Valley, which is belonging to the Colchagua Valley. It's a bigger region there. And then you go to the Maule region going south, and Itata in the further south, which would be today the boundary of southernmost boundary of the Chilean wine regions, with nice exceptions even south of that.
Mm-hmm. If you were to go inverse and go to the northern hemisphere latitudinally, where would you wind up in Europe?
Well, being a long country in Chile, Chilean wine regions would start in the, I would say, northern part of Africa and ending all the way, southern the UK.
I one time took Chile on a map and brought it to the northern hemisphere on the west coast. And as I remember, it starts in southeastern Alaska and ends in Mexico City.
That's absolutely right. And if you go to Europe, if we start at the north part of Africa, it would end in northern Norway. So that's how long the country is. It's actually 3,000 miles long.
Got to be the longest country on the planet.
One of them. I mean, I guess Russia east-west is longer, but yeah, it's a long and narrow country.
So that being said, you have your choice of pretty much any growing region that you would like to specialize in Chile.
That's one of the features of Chile. Going from the north, you got desert area, different valleys, different exposures, different soils as well. You're going south, and then you get a semi-arid region, like in the middle. And we always have the Andes to the east. So from the Andes, rivers have sculpture the whole landscape in Chile. If you drive south, every 50 miles you cross a river. That means that you every 50 miles you have a different valley.
Mm-hmm. Visualizing that, at whatever latitude you are at, your altitude dramatically varies.
That's exactly right. When you see a cut from a section from Chile, you've got to have the Andes and then a slope going down to a center area, which is the Central Valley. It's our Central Valley. And then another hill towards the ocean, which is a very old mountain range. The coastal mountain range goes up a little bit, not nearly as much as the Andes. And then you go to the very last slopes before the ocean. So it's pretty diverse, and these valleys are open to the ocean, and they let the cool air, going in each day.
So you'd have that classic maritime moderating influence in a valley that might be typically, quote, warm.
Exactly. The Mediterranean climate there, it's a book-like example of an area, especially the center of Chile, of an area being surrounded by a desert in the north and a sort of a rainforest in the south. That's what it's called, Mediterranean climate, and that's what we have in the center of Chile.
Back to your life and where you grew up in the wine world. Where was that, and what did you specialize in?
Well, I started, just like many other colleagues in the Central Valley in Chile, originally in the Maule region, which is some 200 miles south of Santiago. And then I worked in different companies, big I mean, the biggest Conchetoro. I used to work in Conchetoro for almost 10 years. And then other smaller wineries. The last decade I spent it in the Colchagua Valley.
And you were a winemaker the whole time? That was your specialty?
Yes, right after college, I started, you know, making wines for different wineries.
This is a long way from home. Here you are in the Highland Lakes area of the Hill Country of Texas. How did that happen?
Well, it's an interesting story. I hired Paul Hobbs to consult for a winery I was working for in Chile. And we became close. And after a couple of years, Ed and Susan Oler, owners of Fall Creek Vineyards here in Texas, were looking for a winemaker, and they asked Paul about, you know, they said, hey, Paul, I mean, I guess, you know, many winemakers would like to work for you. Just find me one. And he thought about me because we had this talk before, and he said, well, what about a Chilean? And they said, well, won't matter. I mean, except if he can speak English, that won't be a problem. And we started contacting, emailing, and then Skyping. Long story short, I came for a short time at the beginning, you know, like for the harvest.
And what year was this?
That's 2013. A few weeks after arriving, I saw great potential. I pretty much found Texas wine industry like Chile 25 years before, like slowly exporting wines to the world, slowly getting reviews, bad reviews, good reviews, better reviews. All that process that we experienced in down there, I found it very similar to what they were having here in Texas.
There was a comfort zone for you. You knew the drill.
Right. Sort of, I felt like I was, you know, already having trained for the last couple of decades to come here, you know? And the good thing is that you can avoid certain mistakes. That's the maybe an advantage of it. So I kind of felt familiar with the situation that was going on here.
My sense is that Fall Creek got it ahead of the curve of a lot of the other Texas wine growers and winemakers, right? So they were ahead of the curve to a degree when you got here.
Well, they were already. When tasting the wines, looking at the grapes and realizing the potential, I saw, you know, again, like a lot of room to grow.
So what was the most exciting challenge that you saw here that you knew you could harness and grow?
Well, to be honest, I came with a lot of skepticism because before coming, I researched from Chile, you know, got some data, weather information. I realized that it was a pretty hot area. And actually, I tried to find another viticultural area that was as hot as Texas to kind of see what they were doing, you know. I couldn't find one. I know that there's an area in South Africa that it's pretty warm as well. But back then, even Mendoza, which is a very warm area, very warm summers there, very kind of... it's not as hot as what happens here in the Hill Country.
And how about the Barossa? Wouldn't that be closer?
Well, I looked at it and the Hunter Valley, yeah. And I found a place east from Perth in West Australia. Again, not as hot as Texas. I compared temperature charts, and they're cooler. Close, but cooler. So that was a surprise. The surprise wasn't the temperature. The surprise was to see vineyards that looked completely normal. Green, shiny colors, growing shoot tips, turgid berries, red, dark, you know, red berries in the case of red wines. Nothing heat-related. Nothing negative about the heat. Despite of having a normal, I mean, that first year, despite of having a normal, you know, summer with, I mean, here in Austin, they count the days above 100 degrees. They have a count, you know, and they go, oh, we just passed, you know, some year's record, and it can be as few as 10, but it can be 90 days above 100 degrees. Right. So that's to kind of picture what happens here. And that's, again, in the shade. I always remind people that temperature is in the shade. Anyway, so I was expecting to find struggling vines, burned leaves, shriveling berries, all that, and I found nothing of the sort. So my best explanation, this is a very long story, you know, very short, My best explanation is that Vitis vinifera is coming from the Middle East. That's the botanical origin of Vitis vinifera.
So it's a perfect marriage then, well, of historically going back thousands of years with the grapevine.
Right. The vines had to come here to just unfold what they were always prepared for. And there's actually an adaptation not exclusive from vines, mm-hmm. but from plants. It's called heat shock genes. They have in their DNA, they have identified more than 40 different of these genes, heat shock genes that express heat shock proteins. And these proteins, once they're in place, they protect everything that needs to be protected inside cells and plant structures. So they are fine with the temperature. All those tissues that otherwise would be burned because above the threshold temperature, those are protected here because of the heat shock proteins are present.
Question, it wouldn't be every varietal, right? It wouldn't be every...
Belonging to the Vitis vinifera species, it would be there. The thing is that they need time to have them in place. They are costly. The plant reserves energy for these proteins, which are complex molecules and costly. So they need time to put them in place. They need the stimulus and time. That's why when a heat wave comes in a cooler region, like in the West Coast, like in Chile, like in Europe, plants are not prepared and they suffer. And they show you symptoms that are, you know, heat-related symptoms. Not here. They have all the time in the world during the spring, because the climate here is that as early as April, temperatures are already, you know, going high. And plants have all that springtime to prepare for the summer temperatures.
That's amazing.
Actually, this phenomenon, what happens here, kind of places a relief in light of the global warming. I mean, I read articles about, you know, forecasting areas that are going to be wiped out because of, you know, such and such temperatures and all that. That's not going to happen. I mean, this is the perfect site to kind of study the areas, you know, the areas that are going to be there are forecasted, like in California, for example, in like 50 years. So we're quote unquote doing the experiments here
ahead of time.
And they're working. Yeah. And they're working. Yeah. So I wouldn't be afraid of that. My name is Sergio Cuadra, winemaker at Fall Creek Vineyards here in Taos, Texas. You can visit our website, fcv.com.
Excellent. Sergio, thank you so much for sharing. It was a pleasure and an honor to meet you, and especially to taste your wines.
Oh, thank you, Tom, for coming. I appreciate it, and a pleasure. Anytime.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Highland Lakes region of the Hill Country of Texas. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
Just to see a Texas smile. Right now, I wish I was sitting right under the X in Texas. Right in the heart of where my heart must be. No matter where I roam, I never feel at home, except in Texas. Right under the X in Texas. Where it's best for me. I got nothing against the rest. But why settle for better when you know what's best? Right under the X in Texas is where it's best for me.